The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Southern Living Magazine, specifically the January-February 2025 issue of Southern Living Magazine. This week, we will continue our cover story about Dolly Parton that was started in our last episode. But friends, today I will spare you my singing. When we get to the songs, I'll just recite them. I'll just recite the words when we get to the songs, I promise, this time. And then if we have time after that, we'll get to the Grumpy Gardener. All right? Ready? Just to let you know that the cover of this magazine is a photo of Dolly Parton, and she is sitting on the edge of a flatbed pickup truck. And in the background is the front, the cab of the truck, and it's blurred. It's a sky blue on the bottom with a white roof. And then beyond that, in front of the truck, is blurred a wooden structure of some sort. In the foreground, we have Dolly Parton sitting, as we said, at the edge of this truck, the flatbed of the truck. And the flatbed is also painted blue. It's to match the cab, but it's distressed. That paint is peeling off, and it's light brown beneath, coffee-colored beneath, as is the bumper of the truck. And the bumper has a bumper sticker that says Dollywood with the logo of Dolly Parton's theme park in Tennessee near the Smoky Mountains. Dolly is sitting on the truck in a denim dress that is bejeweled with its beaded butterflies. And the dress is denim blue, and it's got some sparklies on it too, some sparkly beads on it, zippers in the front, and the butterflies are red and blue with gold beaded outlines on their wings. And Dolly's wearing a red bracelet to match her very long red lacquered nails, and she is leaned back and smiling, of course, her Dolly Parton smile, and she is holding a guitar across her lap with her two hands around the neck of the guitar. The print on this, oh, and her eyeshadow is red, white, and blue. Not very bright, but you could see that it is there. All right. And the print on the magazine from top to bottom on the cover says January, February 2025, Southern Living, Dolly's Road Ahead. How the Queen of Country Keeps on Truckin', by Rick Bragg, and that's B-R-A-G-G. And then down near the bottom, it says 25 places to visit in 2025, plus Ivy Odom's Game Time Wings. All right, we're ready? So to continue our story of Dolly, and this story, cover story, is entitled A Song in Her Heart by Rick Bragg. Dolly Parton talks to Rick Bragg about her hometown, the real Jolene, and the music that keeps her going. And as we continue, there is a full-page photo on the page opposite the one that we left off in and that we will pick up in. And that, I think we did describe it last week, but once again, it's Dolly. She's in her garden. We can't see what she's sitting on. The background is blurred. Seemed to be evergreen, maybe hollies, but it's blurred, so I can't tell. And it's against a light blue, a wall of some sort. And Dolly is laughing, and she's got one hand across the body of the guitar, and then her left hand is on the neck of the guitar with a huge blue diamond-shaped ring. And maybe it's a sapphire. I don't know. And she's wearing denim slacks and a denim shirt. With the sleeves of the shirt, though, are varying horizontal colors of coffee color brown, orange, and light green, like a mint green. And she's wearing that same eyeshadow we mentioned and some pearl earrings. And she's laughing there. All right, so to continue this story, we'll just go read the last paragraph of what we read last week just to get us situated. All right? As I gather my wits, I remember why I came. If you ask her what she's most proud of, she retreats again into the mountains, into a house with no running water but a constant stream of songs that are so sad you shudder when you sing them and weep as you listen. She was born in 1946, the fourth of 12 children. She can't remember a time without music. It was her daddy who put his shoulder to the land and made their living. But it was her mama, Avie Lee, and her mama's people who would rather pick and sing than work, who showed her it was music that chased the dust from your mouth. And maybe, if you're any good, you could make a dollar singing about that hardship on the AM radio or black and white TV. My mama knew all the old songs brought over from the old world, she says. They were, most of them, awfully sad. But being sad over a song is better than being sad in the real world. She would cry, and we would love it. We'd say, Mama, tell us again about that girl who loved that boy, Dolly says, recalling those about a boy who left home or went to war or sea or perished in some terrible longing. Mama could jerk a tear out of you. They heard Knoxville Girl, Down in the Willow Garden, Little Rosewood Casket, and more. At night, the Parton children would sit with their mama and watch the radio, she says, like it would run out the door if they didn't hold it there with their gaze. Dolly was making up her own songs before she could even read or write. I can claim that gift, she says. Anybody can sing a song, but to make something good in the world, that wasn't there before. Her uncle Bill Owens encouraged her to take her talents to town, to radio and television. When she was just 10, she was singing on the Kaz Walker Farm and Home Hour. Reflecting on that time, Dolly says, from the way people reacted, I thought, you know, this may be for real. She was appearing on TV before her family had one in their house. When she was in her mid-20s, she wrote and recorded a song that would become a kind of anthem for working people. Coat of Many Colors, which came out in 1971, was a balm for anyone who was ever made fun of because of their poverty. And it exalted, let me try that again, listeners. Coat of Many Colors, which came out in 1971, was a balm for anyone who was ever made fun of because of their poverty. And it exalted quietly and sweetly the people of the mountains, the farmers and mill workers and coal miners who would be her first great everlasting fans. And this is from the song. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us and how my mama put the rags to use. She made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. If it happened, she says, I wrote a song about it. The only way she could run out of songs was to stop living. This philosophy gave birth to one of the greatest country music, or any genre, hits of all time. It happened not long after her marriage to Carl Dean, an asphalt contractor. He went into a bank to ask for a loan for a paving machine. The red-headed bank clerk seemed to Dolly more than friendly. I told him, I don't believe this long-legged, beautiful girl is who you ought to be talking to about asphalt. And she might have warned him that if he kept it up, she would pave over his behind. In 1973, she went into RCA's Nashville studio to record Jolene. Your beauty is beyond compare with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like the summer rain. And I cannot compete with you, Jolene. The clerk's name was not really Jolene. Dolly borrowed it from a little girl she saw at a performance. I changed the names to protect the guilty, she says. And after all this time, the writing is still the best part. I walk around with the song in my head and in my heart, Dolly says, adding that even in the calm of her home, there's always music running through her mind. I'll go into a closet and wonder, now, what in the hell did I come in here for? There's nothing that makes me happier than writing a song. She has a new album in mind. In a world that seems to be biting at itself like a run-over snake, she would like to do something with hope in it, and faith, and even inspiration. She uses the word revival, and I think to myself, isn't that what you've been doing all along? Dolly knows exactly how far she's come, but there are moments now and then when she feels like she's playing dress-up in somebody else's clothes. I think I'm a star to everybody but me, she says. I always wanted to be famous, but nobody could have thought of the extent it became. I always wanted to be famous, but nobody could have thought of the extent it became. I'll see a whole wall of my pictures somewhere, and I'll wonder, how did that happen? It's more a joy than a surprise. Right now, with the photo session and interviews almost over, she just needs to get out of those tight clothes. I popped a zipper and they had to sew me in, she says. They may have to cut me out. And just when I think I might get away from here with my dignity intact, she asks me, with that laugh, if I have a knife. Is it a Barlow knife, she says, falling backward again into the holler. At Christmas, all the boys got a Barlow knife, and then she said something else after that, but the blood had rushed to my ears. I couldn't get my heart out of my throat, and my notes made no sense to me the next day. And there's a photo here, listeners, a full-page photo on the next page, and it's of Dolly standing up this time against a espresso-colored wooden wall of some structure, like a barn maybe. She's standing in the grass, although she's wearing silver sandals, high heels. And she's wearing silver capris, or they used to be called pedal pushers. Anyway, they're slacks that go down just below her knees. But they're very, very shiny, silvery. And her blouse is a tight, very light blue denim. It's like a faded denim blouse. And it has silver buttons, not just up and down, but on the collar. And on these two zippered pockets, that there are two breast pockets on each side. And they have silver buttons outlining them as well. She's wearing a silver, looks like a butterfly ring. And her long nails are still red, lacquered in this photo, too. And She has her legs crossed as she's standing, one in front of the other, and a guitar is standing beside her, and she has her hands on the top of the neck of that guitar. And the guitar, listeners, is all different colors, like a ruby red, sapphire blue, sky blue, lime green, and sunshine yellow. And they're all like puzzle pieces in the guitar, and the sides of it are red. So that, I think, ends Rick Bragg's interview, but there's one other page here that is about Dollywood. It says, Dollywood has a story to tell. One of the top theme parks in the world marks its 40th season, thanks in part to Barbara Walters and a trusted bus driver. And this is by Valerie Fraser Lewis. That's Lewesse. And on the opposite page are various photos of Dolly in Dollywood. In one, she's wearing a blue dress and an orange vest, and she's applauding. And there are a bunch of kids in the background in camp T-shirts, wearing the same color, navy blue camp T-shirts. In another, she's sitting at an old-fashioned diner with a jukebox on the table, red leather banquettes, and she's wearing a dress that, in the style of the 50s. It's mostly white, but has a black collar and black trimmed sleeves. And along the bottom of the dress are dice, actually. They're cut out in dice-shaped, and they have different black dots, as dice do on them. And she's wearing white sandals. And in the background is a mirror mirroring the diner, and it's all red and blue motif. And in the next photo, she's holding a spade. And it says, The Dolly Parton Story, From Rags to Riches and Entrance. There's a sign there that says that. So this must be somewhere in Dollywood there. It's like she's at the entrance to some kind of a coal mine there. Yeah. Then there's another one where this looks to be, oh yes, she is. It is Dolly. Looks to be a figurine on a cake, but it is Dolly, I believe, standing on a big cake that says Dollywood, and the W is a butterfly that's forming the W in Dollywood. And there are a bunch of adoring fans in front of her looking up at her on this cake. She's wearing a white dress. And can't see it too close. It's a small photo. Then there's another one that says, Welcome to Dollywood. It's homespun fun. And Dolly is beside that, holding that sign with her side to us. And she's wearing a violet blouse with blue denim accents. And blue denim slacks, but we can just see her waist there. And there's another where she's singing. She's holding the guitar, playing the guitar, and singing. And she's wearing a velvet, appears to be velvet, black velvet top or dress with a black velvet bodice and yellow, white, and red vertical stripes on the skirt and the sleeve, and the trim around the neckline. And the guitar is not too flashy, this one. It's just a coffee-colored, or actually a wine-colored bass. And she's playing that guitar. Then there's another one where she's in a Ferris wheel seat, up in the air, waving, wearing a red dress that matches the red seat on the Ferris wheel. And the Dollywood logo, which was also a bumper sticker on the truck, is there. It says Dollywood, Tennessee. And again, the W is a butterfly. And finally, the center is a photo, a black and white photo of a bunch of construction workers. This must be, we'll read about this in a moment, but it appears to be maybe when they first built it. And there, someone's holding the Dollywood sign. And she's standing in black, all dressed in black. Black boots, black trousers, and a black blouse that's sort of like a jacket, and a white scarf maybe underneath it. And she's waving. And here, listeners, is the caption of all these photos on this page, on this full page. It says, like Dolly Parton, Dollywood Theme Park keeps reinventing itself and finding new ways to captivate and entertain while always giving back. To celebrate its 40th season this year, the park is planning a roster of shows and events to draw people to Pigeon Forge. Pigeon Forge is the town in Tennessee where Dollywood is located. And here is Valerie Fraser Lewis's essay on Dollywood and its story. Dollywood was never about all the roller coasters, at least not just about the roller coasters. Years before her namesake park in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, became a reality, Dolly told journalist Barbara Walters that she had dreamed of building a Smoky Mountain fairyland, something that could capture and celebrate the spirit of her Appalachian home. That 1982 TV interview caught the attention of brothers Pete and Jack Hershend, who had successfully transformed a Branson, Missouri cave attraction into a theme park called Silver Dollar City before adding a sister location in Tennessee. Although the brothers could see the potential in a partnership with Dolly, they were a bit in awe, says Hershend CEO Andrew Wexler. Dolly was, at the time, a shooting star, this amazing entertainer, and hugely, wildly popular. As it turned out, the general manager of the Tennessee Silver Dollar City had come over from the original park in Branson and knew Dolly's bus driver, who was from southwest Missouri. So the manager reached out to the driver to see if they could set up a meeting. Dolly and the Hershends not only met, but also found some common ground philosophically. Wexler says the brothers had always believed that taking care of their employees, their guests, and their community was just as important as making money. Dolly has the same philosophy, he notes. She really wants to make sure that the people around her are taken care of and her fans are taken care of. That's why when they first met, she and the Hershends knew it was a match made in heaven and that it was going to be a perfect partnership. A reimagined Silver Dollar City opened as Dollywood in 1986, and attendance more than doubled in its first year. Dollywood is now the biggest employer in both Pigeon Forge and Sevier County, not to mention a major contributor to Tennessee state coffers. It brings more than 2 million people to the area every year and, in the process, helps provide some 23,000 jobs in the Sevier County region. A 2021 Tennessee Department of Transportation study listed Dollywood's annual economic impact on the state at $1.8 billion. Meanwhile, the Dollywood Foundation supports the Imagination Library and other programs that aid people in need and promote education and creativity. Dolly Parton's reputation as a world-renowned entertainer, businesswoman, and philanthropist puts Pigeon Forge in the spotlight alongside Dollywood, says Leon Downey, the executive director of the Pigeon Forge Department of Tourism. Beyond the revenue her properties generate, Pigeon Forge gets immeasurable media coverage and exposure, bringing folks from all around the world to the Great Smoky Mountains. Since 1986, Dollywood has steadily increased its attractions and lengthened its operating season. It now welcomes guests nearly 300 days per year, from mid-March through early January, with hopes to stay open year-round in the future. The park has grown to encompass 165 acres and over 50 rides and attractions, as well as Dollywood Splash Country Water Park, which is open from mid-May to September, and Dreammore Resort and Spa, Heartsong Lodge and Resort, and, as of 2024, the Dolly Parton Experience. This latest edition takes visitors on an interactive journey through her life and career. A calendar full of festivals updated for the 40th season includes the Sweet Summer Nights Dance Party and Drone Show during the Smoky Mountains Summer Celebration. There will also be a full-stage production, Play On, to honor the history of all the performances that this place has put on over the years. Each operating day in 2025 will begin with a new opening ceremony. And, of course, visitors can expect some major holiday magic during Dollywood's annual Smoky Mountain Christmas, which Amusement Today listed among its Golden Ticket Awards legends, the best of the best in 2024. One of six Golden Ticket Awards that were garnered by Dollywood that go-round. Also last year, TripAdvisor named Dollywood the number one theme park in the U.S. and included it in their top 10 in the world. Sure, the roller coasters certainly have something to do with that, delivering an all-important adrenaline rush. But they're not the source of Dollywood's staying power. To achieve decades of sustainability, Wexler says you have to make an emotional bond with families. There's a science around knowing what people will connect to, he explains. But there's also the idea that everybody wants to feel taken care of, safe, and like they belong. And Dolly's spirit is that of connection, of creating environments where people just feel loved. If you talk to her, she's just the sweetest, nicest person with a great sense of humor. And so we just collaborate with her on building these environments that people will love. On behalf of Pigeon Forge, Danny says, there's no greater tourism ambassador than Dolly. And listeners, as you can hear, we've run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living Magazine. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope that you will listen next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website, ncreadingservice.org, or call us at 919-832-5138. Once again, it's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Southern Living Magazine on the North Carolina Reading Service. So long till next time.